Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that. We got the Rob Rant coming up later this hour. And Joe, we are now one day away from the trade deadline in the NHL. Tomorrow afternoon will be the trade deadline, and the moves are continuing to trickle in here around the National Hockey League. The Preds play tonight. One more game before the deadline. They're taking on Boston, and then that's it. They have some more decisions to make. Another trade made last night for the Nashville Predators, Nick Blankenberg going to the Colorado Avalanche. So far, Joe, you've seen McCarron, Cole Smith, Nick Blankenberg be traded. He gets a fifth-round pick in return for Blankenberg last night in the 2027 NHL draft. So McCarron fetches you a second. Cole Smith got you a third and a player. And now Blankenberg has got you a fifth-round pick in 2027. So some people upset about the return for Blankenberg. I mean, I didn't expect him to get a ton more. I do understand the argument of, like, if all you're going to get back for Blankenberg is a fifth-round pick, would it be better off to just sign him when he's not going to be that expensive?
Which that's my argument.
I would have loved to have seen. So, you know, not that, you know, I don't think that Nick Blankenberg, you know, look, he's a great story. He's a great guy. And he's played really well for the Predators this year. I don't know that he's going to be a long-term part of your future, but if you're only going to get a fifth-round pick in return for him, I would have probably liked to see the Predators just try to sign him, because I don't think it would have costed them that much, or cost them that much.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like great stories, great guys play a role for you, still might be worth keeping around as opposed to a fifth in the next draft. But it's part of the sell-off, so we have, you know, we have people on the text line, you know, best in sports, you know, the Preds selling off. And but some people, of course, have, you know, wanted to watch a playoff run, and you know, that's now, you know, they've done away with that. But you know, this one is one I'm just like, eh, okay, sure, whatever. We still wait on the big one that needs to be coming here.
Well, then that's the question: what's coming in the next couple of days? You know, I would be pretty surprised, Joe, if like Eric Halla doesn't get moved. I mean, and Kevin Weeks was putting that out there yesterday that a lot of people are checking in on Halla right now, but it is a big one coming. That's the real question. Like, is O'Reilly going to be moved? You know, the Predators, when they put out their statement on Tuesday night after the Columbus game, said that they'd probably have a better update on O'Reilly's playing status today. Like, I wonder, like, you know, injury is the first concern, right? Like, he took the butt end of the stick to the face on Tuesday. So, like, you know, I have no idea. Like, is his eye swollen shut? If his eye's swollen shut, he probably can't play. Can't be playing, like, with one eyeball functioning out there. So that's the main thing. Like, is he all right? And number two, Joe, if he is okay, are you playing him tonight if you're the Predators, right? Like, to me, Joe, that would probably in some ways kind of maybe signal what they're thinking here. Like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to. But if O'Reilly's playing tonight, that would signal to me that maybe he's not getting moved. Maybe that's just me reading too much into it. I don't know. But I think it makes a lot of sense if you're going to try to move him to not play him tonight so he doesn't get hurt. It's asset management.
Yeah. And the thing is, because of the eye, if he doesn't play, that could, you know, that could be the excuse. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure. Yeah.
Like if not for that, we would probably have a clear indication based on him in the lineup or not in the lineup, but he could be not in the lineup and it's just because he's actually hurt. But
well, I'm gonna try to figure that out this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Do some investigating. I can't believe, first of all, We obviously have no idea what is happening with these calls or what people are offering, but if you're Barry Trotz, there is a full day tomorrow to take calls, right?
Sure.
So why would, like, I just how could you be resolved right now to the point where, yeah, put him in the lineup, he's staying. How could you be resolved without being open to the possibility someone calls you at lunch tomorrow and blows you away with by far the best deal yet, and you're like, you can't not do it.
Well, by the way, everybody keeps talking about it being a buyer's market right now, which means there's a lot of players that are available, and maybe the price to get some of these players won't be as bad as maybe some of these teams think. And then you see us like re this ridiculous deal that the Oilers did yesterday, where they get Jason Dickinson from the Chicago Blackhawks, who is like, I mean, he's okay. Like, he's not really that great of a player. He's okay. But the Oilers send a first round, like a conditional first round pick to the Blackhawks. And it's just like, really? Like, I keep looking at some of these deals that get made, and I'm like, well, if, like, you know, people were blown away by the Michael Makarin thing, even though I told you not to be, that you got a second round pick. And then Dickinson gets moved to the Oilers last night, and a first round pick is a part of the deal. And the Blackhawks are retaining 50% of the salary, so you got to factor that in too. But it's like, if he's getting that, I mean, Ryan O'Reilly at the rate things are going right now, he's gonna get on. It's gonna be a massive deal if you trade Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, it's just so I like everybody keeps talking about the buyer's market, and I understand it. Like, there's a lot of players who look like they're available, but to me, that's not being reflected in the prices right now. Like, the prices these teams are getting for these trades are pretty good.
Yeah, if he's worth a first of all, I'm having Ryan Hartman flashbacks, 8 years ago in Chicago. Although I mean that like at the time that made more sense at the time than what you just laid out for us. So yeah, what does that mean for Ryan O'Reilly?
That's, I mean,
It's got to
Jason
be
Dickinson
ridiculous.
has 13 points in 47 games this year. He's a center, which yippee, but he's got 13 points in 47 games. So again, not that that's everything. I said yesterday Michael Makarin's more than the box score. I get all that, but good grief, I just thought that was a ridiculous price that they paid. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob in Antioch to the program. Bob, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I think we'd all agree that the best trade deadline move that the Predators have made when they were sellers was when they got Forsberg in exchange for Martin Erat. If they move one of their big name players, are there any prospects who might be considered similar to Forsberg at that stage that you're aware of that you'd like to see them go after?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. It's an interesting question. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have not kept a running prospect list of like all the teams that could be involved here. And I think it would be another thing, Joe, like, in specifically O'Reilly's case, I have no idea who's going to trade for him. Like, we had Wyshynski on the other day. I think if O'Reilly's available, there'll be like 11 teams that try to get him. So I don't know. I to answer the question, I don't know. I'm sure that they're, depending on who you are, like, I'm not overly familiar with Minnesota's prospect system. I would guess that it's been depleted a little bit this year when you've traded for Quinn Hughes. They just gave up a second round pick for Michael Makarin. So the assets that Minnesota may have right now may not be as high as some of these other teams. Like, obviously, Colorado has been a team that's been going for it. They traded one of their big prospects in Cal Ritchie last year to go get Brock Nelson. So I don't think that Colorado is like running rampant with all these prospects right now. So it would just depend on where he goes. I don't have a good answer on that front.
To me, it's just obviously you're getting a first and whatever. You can throw in, third, set, whatever, but you're getting a first and you're getting a prospect at least. And I don't know, who knows what, but the prospect has to be a high level center prospect, right? Like that's to me, it's like you need someone who is on the rise and looks like he could potentially. And I know you're narrowing this now to like how many teams have this and are willing to part with this. But if you want O'Reilly and you think he's the final piece, you got to part with that centerman prospect who you think has the potential to be a top six guy, in the next 2, 3 years. It's got to be that kind of a prospect. And then then I think it's worthwhile for sure, because like people are saying, well, someone's got to play center. Like, I understand that, but again, like, if you can get a huge return and really help spark your rebuild, and now you have this prospect TBD and Brady Martin potentially down the middle coming up in the future, maybe it actually starts to look okay at that long suffering position.
One texture says trade into Boston and finally get James Higgins. But I don't think Boston's going to do that, but that would be interesting to see if that's the way that that could go. One texture asking, are we sure the Preds are sellers for a rebuild? The trades we've made so far seem like typical deadline moves. Just curious, haven't read about it that much. I mean, again, rebuild, they're never going to say that. Like, they're not, first off, like, I don't think they're going to like tear the whole thing down. They can't. Like, Soros' contract, I don't think is going anywhere. Forsberg and Yossi, I don't think are going anywhere. I mean, right now, the big question is O'Reilly. And beyond O'Reilly, I would probably put number two, Marchessault. And then number three, I'd probably put Stamkos. And Stamkos is entirely up to him. Like, Stamkos to me is going to be, has he in the last couple of days, with everything that's now going on, changed his viewpoint on how he views kind of riding this thing out? And it, like, if I'm Stamkos, Joe, one of the things I want to know, and I probably had a conversation with this yesterday to Barry Trotz, if I'm Stamkos. So are you going to trade O'Reilly? Because if you're going to trade O'Reilly, well, why don't you go ahead and just add me to the list, would probably be the way I would approach it if I were him. But I don't want to speak for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. And running out of time for all these things to happen. So, I'm sorry, but like, I'm not saying you must now trade Ryan O'Reilly no matter what, but it's just hard for me to believe you're not getting great offers. You just laid out, like, teams, GMs from time to time just go totally off the reservation and make a deal that doesn't represent the market at large. But that deal, you cannot tell me that that you're not getting a huge haul. And I'd like, there's just like the idea of, he doesn't have trade protection, but we're deferring to him. It just, that doesn't fly, man. Not if you're gonna do this. Not if you're gonna do what you've done so far.
No, I agree. Like, it's one thing if you're kind of on the fence, but if you start moving pieces, like, that philosophy needs to go out the window. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Lots more to get to on the Preds and the NHL trading deadline. We'll take more of your thoughts, your questions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Bruins. They have already traded away Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, Nick Blankenberg. And I would imagine they're not done. The question is, how many more are going to be traded from the Nashville Predators? Is Ryan O'Reilly going to be on that list? Is Steven Stamkos going to be added to that list? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter asking, at some point, does having 30 draft picks have to pan out, or is hockey like the NFL and you trade 10 of them for a good player? It seems like we always have a bunch of draft picks, and we got Luke Evangelista and who? Where are the young guys? Well, that last part of it is going to be a big part of the answer here, right? Like, where are the young guys? Now, again, I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, that they have a lot of guys that are not even in the American Hockey League yet that I think they're excited about, that very well could end up being good players. I mean, by the way, like, they have Matt Wood, who I don't know how much we expected him to be on the NHL roster heading into the year, who has basically spent all year up here, and it's gone up and down with him. But, like, there's nothing I've seen from Matt Wood this year that makes me, like, worried about him moving forward. Like, I think he's going to end up being a pretty good player
You
for
can
the
see
Predators.
it.
Yeah, you can see it. So, like, they it is worth mentioning that, right? Like, he has been on the team basically all season. But yeah, like, they're going to have to start to see more of these picks pop. Like, the draft pick part of it, in some ways, Joe, The NHL draft is a bit like throwing darts from the standpoint of, like, once you get beyond the first, like, the top half of the first round, it does turn into a little bit of a crapshoot. And a lot of that is because you're drafting these kids when they're 17 and 18 years old. And you just have no idea what that's going to look like by the time they turn around and be 23 or 24. Now, some teams, clearly, Joe, are better at that than others. You know, we always talk about Tampa. And, you know, two of their best players, I mean, their best player for sure is Nikita Kucherov. And they found him, I believe it was like 59th overall, somewhere in the 58th overall, something like that, in the second round.
Yep.
Another one of their best players is Braden Point, who they found 79th overall in the third round. So you can find them, right? Like, and like I said, some teams are better than others at finding them. So it would be nice for the Predators. You know, obviously, they have to have Brady Martin work out. If they get another lottery pick this year, we'll see where the ping pong balls fall. But they need, you know, if it's a, I don't know, if they're picking eighth or they're picking ninth or they're picking 10th or whatever it is this year, Joe, they need that pick to work out. But it'd also be great if, you know, they could get a few second rounders, third rounders, fourth rounders to pop in a big way. Like, you know, again, it's college hockey. So I don't know what this is going to translate into in a couple of years, but Riker Lee looks pretty darn good. Like Riker Lee
Yep.
looks like he could be pretty electric. So there, I do think that there are several guys that are in their organization that have promising looking futures. The problem is, until they get to the NHL, I don't really care, right? Like until they get to the NHL and prove that they could do it at the NHL level, that's what we're all waiting to see. I've seen plenty of people who look like they're going to be pretty promising, and then get to the NHL, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and what's happened with the Preds, I think a lot is you draft someone, there's promise, but then it's kind of like the ceiling just isn't high enough at the NHL level, and you're essentially like you're just not coming through with, I mean, with top six guys. I mean, that's like, right? Like so many of these guys have been like, yeah, and then they move on, or they're stuck in Milwaukee too long. People got upset, but it's like that's just not good enough. I mean, other than Fiala, I think the Titan or Titans Preds best draft outcome at forward in modern times would be Arvidsson in the fourth, right?
Yeah, I mean, like,
So, I mean, that shows you like you can get good players at different times of the draft. It's good to have more, like you said, the dartboard philosophy. Also, you can use some of these picks in trades if
yes.
you ever get good. So, I mean, like, it's good to have that stuff. But yeah, like, again, with O'Reilly, to me, it's like you need to be hunting prospects right now in that situation. You know you're getting a first, it'll be a low first, okay? But you need to be hunting prospects and targeting specific people. You're like, that person in 2 years plays down the middle for us.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully sooner than that. Like, it'd
Well,
be great
sure.
to get some players in that are close to being NHL ready. Let's head back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate in Columbia to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. With the playoffs basically non-existent for the Preds now, I mean that's at least how we are seeing it. Do y'all think the prospects are going to be playing more freely since they were basically skating on the thinnest of ice, pun intended? When, the playoffs were kind of still alive, where if they made a mistake, they basically were going to get benched.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with where are they playing in the lineup, right? Like, it's one thing to be playing 9 minutes a night on the fourth line. It's another thing to be playing, 16 minutes a night with Luke Evangelista and Steven Stamkos. Like, so what is that going to look like down the stretch? And who are those guys? Like, I mean, Reid Schaefer is probably coming back up. He's probably not going to be playing on the second line. Like he's probably a fourth line player for the Predators. LaRue, like it would be nice to see LaRue, who has been productive in Milwaukee. It would be nice to see him take some of that offensive production we've seen in the minors and apply it to the NHL. He's really not done that yet. Like He's not been an effective offensive player in the NHL yet. And look, you can blame that on where he's been in the lineup if you want to. That's fine. Like I've got some time for that argument, but they need to see that kind of start to blossom here. So, you know, the other part of this, Joe, is, I mean, I guess you could view it as they're, you know, freeing up the young guys a little bit, but there's also going to be another general manager coming in. And probably, I mean, I don't know this, but my guess is it's going to be a general manager from outside the organization that didn't draft any of these guys. And anytime that that happens, I think you got to be, it raises your eyebrows a little bit. If you're these guys of up, now somebody else is in here making decisions that was not a part of bringing me in. And whether that's a coach, whether that's a player, I think that always puts people on edge a little bit.
100%. First of all, on the lineup thing, let's look at some of the guys that they've tried to force into spots high in the lineup. I mean, I just don't buy that. Like, I mean, the problem they've had is they don't have enough guys to fill these spots. And so if LaRue's, you know, maybe he gets there, but I mean, yeah, you know, he'll have opportunity. He's had some opportunity. You know, he has to get better. Brian's text here says, this sounds like an organizational problem. If it consistently happens, where we see prospects coming to the Predators organization that simply aren't good enough, maybe it's the scouts in the organization that need to be changed. If I'm ownership interviewing these new GM candidates, like that is, that's a huge part of the conversation to me. What is the perception around the league of this organization, and what is your answer for why this organization has failed for decades to adequately evaluate, draft, and develop forwards?
Yeah.
And how does that get fixed? And if it's a massive overhaul, then it's a massive overhaul. But that to me is the fundamental question. Now that you are doing this and you're going outside, we think, and having this big moment of change in the organization, that's the fundamental question.
Well, and some of the answer to that is going to be, well, you've never picked high enough on a consistent basis, but it's deeper than that. Like that's part of it. I mean, sure.
Right. There's some years where you would have taken the same guy if you had a chance that everybody else would have. But yes, it is deeper, of course.
But it's deeper than that. So that's got to get figured out here. And look, you know, like I said, maybe they've started to turn that. I mean, you know, Matthew Wood can end up being a really good player. Riker Lee can be a good player. Maybe Igor Surin's a great player. Maybe Brady Martin's a great player. So maybe the tide is turning. I mean, the problem with that is we just don't know. Like, it's so hard to know with those guys right now. And in the meantime, like, this is a question, you know, one of the things that is interesting, we've got a question to this effect on the text line that we're going to get into coming up here in just a minute. You know, we always talk about O'Reilly and Stamkos. What about like Forsberg and Josi? Like how are they viewing all this? Because I mean, look, Josi feels like a lifer. Like, it doesn't feel like Yossi's going anywhere. And that's always and I don't think they've ever for one second considered trading Roman Josi. And I'm not suggesting that they're going to start now. But like, again, if I'm Philip Forsberg, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know what? Like, I'm not getting any younger. And if we're not going to be, if they trade O'Reilly, and maybe this would be a conversation more for the offseason than it would be now. But I'd be looking at it and saying, like, all right, so what exactly is the plan here? Because I think from his perspective, Joe, you could look at it and say, maybe I would be better off somewhere else to maximize what's left of my career. And the Predators have made it clear, and I think it's the right move, and I think the next general manager should absolutely operate this way. Like, the priority from the Predators has shifted from, hey, let's focus in on the core of Josi, Forsberg, and a bunch of other guys who, by the way, aren't here anymore, and Saros. And let's focus on the core of Brady Martin and Igor Surin and Tanner Molendijk and all these young guys, which is the right way to do it.
Yep.
But we just, like, nobody's ever considered trading Josi or Forsberg, and I just wonder how they're going to view all this moving forward. We'll get into that coming up next. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have the Rob rant coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The job is just throwing it out there. I mean, you know, the deadline's tomorrow. And look, I don't expect, like, you know, the Josi or Forsberg or anything like that conversation to happen anytime soon. I do think it's interesting if you're a new general manager. I'll take Yossi out of it because I think he's different. But if you're a new general manager, depending on how you're looking at the roster right now, let's say O'Reilly gets traded in the next day or two, and Stamkos gets traded either in the next day or two or in the offseason. Like, you're looking at a roster at that point that's going to have a lot of young guys on it. I don't know. What does that look like from a Philip Forsberg? Who, by the way, we talk about all these other guys that have protection. Like, Philip Forsberg has full trade protection. So, like, he's in total control of what happens with his future here, as is Yossi, as is Saros. So, like, we've had that conversation before. I just wonder, like, it's clear that the Predators are not really focused on their core anymore, and they shouldn't be. So what does that mean for how they view it moving forward? And particularly the guy I'm talking about is Forsberg.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting question, and we haven't gotten to this. Someone asked earlier, like the Oilers. I think we've talked about this, but is there any possibility that someone would be like, "Man, that's a lot of term, and it's hard to make the money work," but Saros could be the last piece. I mean, is that too much fantasy to even discuss?
I don't know that it's too much fantasy to discuss. I think he's gonna have to play better. Like, I think
Yeah.
that's part of it
If he
too.
was having like a really good year and they were in the same spot, I
Be
mean,
different.
cause yeah, like, I mean, like, cause seriously, like if you're the, I mean, I have no idea. Yeah, obviously you'd have to do some stuff. Like if you're the Oilers, for example, and there's other teams, it's like, I mean, even if he's not a Vezina guy, if he's like a top 10-ish goalie, like would Saros, like, do you believe if UC Saros was on the Edmonton Oilers, like, that might put them over the top and win a cup?
I mean, they've been in a better spot than they are with Tristan Jarry. I mean, it's for sure. I mean,
Yeah.
but I mean, the problem with them is, I mean, they've already made their move. Like, I mean, I guess
Yeah.
they could do another one, but it just I think not that his cap number is like exorbitant, and it's as the cap continues to go up, it's not like UC Saros is going to have like some super restrictive cap number. I think a lot of it's just about the term, though. Like, it's the term involved with it and how old he is, which, it's not like he's ancient, but you're talking about a goalie that's in his 30s that's still got a ton of term left, and that the numbers suggest he's going the wrong way. Like, I just think that's a hard combination to move at that point. And by the way, he's got full trade protection. So, and
Yeah.
even assumed in all this is he would waive it.
Right. Yeah, so it's like maybe at some point in the future, like a team in a very different spot from the Preds, if the Preds are going to go through, don't use the R word, don't use rebuild, but whatever, they're going to go through some tough times here. Is it possible that a team out there that's contending that's really the glaring hole says, "Okay, it's worthwhile to do this." But I think you hit it. It's like he has to at some point demonstrate that the trend is not what it seems to be. And as we've talked about, when you're the smaller, athletically explosive goalie that relies on that twitch, it probably leaves you a little bit earlier, So, but yeah, at some point, maybe it becomes a thing.
Well, and by the way, we had people asking earlier this week about Robert Thomas, right? So Robert Thomas, we talked with Wyshynski, a number one center who's 26 years old, who not having a great year, but you don't see those guys get moved a whole lot. It's like, well, you look at what's going on with Robert Thomas, and Detroit looks like they're closing in on him. And that, first off, that would be interesting. But like, if you're the Predators, I would have considered that. Now, it's always like tough in your division, right? Like, you don't see these things happen in division a whole lot when you're talking about some of these big moves. Like, even going back to like big moves, I'll always remember the day Shea Weber got traded. Shea Weber gets traded. It was Montreal and Nashville who never see each other, right? That same day, Taylor Hall got traded to the Devils from the Oilers. I mean, two completely different conferences. So
Yep.
it doesn't always work out that way. But like, even Rantanen got traded from the Avalanche, and he ended up on the Stars. Well, stopped in between there was Carolina. He went to Carolina. So I think when they're making these huge deals, a lot of times teams prefer to do it in the opposite conference, or it just works out that way for whatever reason. I'm interested to see here how the Thomas situation breaks down. Like at one point, I thought yesterday that somebody said he was going to Detroit, and I guess that hasn't officially happened yet, so I don't know.
Let's go, Stevie Y. It's about time, Stevie Y. Get this done, baby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's been a bit underwhelming.
Hey, big win against the Preds the other day. We'll see what happens on the Detroit front. Kind of closing thoughts here on the O'Reilly part of this before we move on to the rant here in just a few minutes. I if it were me, eye injury aside, and we'll see what that looks like. Let's assume for the sake of this discussion that O'Reilly is healthy enough to play tonight. I just wouldn't do it if I'm the Predators. Like I think this is a situation where you look at it and you say, from a roster management standpoint, we're holding him out of the game tonight. And by the way, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to trade him, but it does mean that you're protecting what is going to be your biggest asset at the trading deadline. And, if you get to the end of the deadline and you haven't moved him, I mean, he could play for you over the weekend, that's fine. But I just think it would be smart for the Predators to hold him out tonight if he's healthy enough to play and do your best to field your best offers and make a decision. Like we've talked about it. I know what I would do. I'd be moving Ryan O'Reilly. I think at the very minimum, Joe, I'd hold him out tonight, and you just have to really weigh what I assume are going to be really strong offers that are coming in. With the way that trades are going right now, the market that I know is there for Ryan O'Reilly, there's got to be some really, really good offers that have come in.
You have to think so. And does it intensify tomorrow? Do you get down to two teams that really, really look at him as the answer, and all of a sudden the price gets driven up? So I'm total agreement. I mean, I might be outraged tomorrow if O'Reilly's on the ice tonight. You have the out with the eye, right?
Yeah.
And yet, somehow in my mind, I can just see him out there playing, just, just absolutely throwing his body all over the place with a closed up eye, telling us after the game how he stinks. And then
I guarantee you he's going to want to play.
Of course.
This is one of those situations where you might have to be like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, we have to sit you down tonight.
At some point, like, you're allowed to tell Ryan, like, say, no, sorry. Like, you should sit, or no, sorry, I know that you don't want to be traded. You don't have trade protection. We're trading you. Like, you can do that.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I suck. I am the worst ever. Can you just try to be a little nicer?
Rex Road, you said we were going to lose, you jerk. Yeah.
She's completely dressed.
She does not disrobe anywhere near me.
Well, I don't get the rain, man. Cold.
Rice is a tremendous team,
There's nothing like Kentucky basketball. There's just nothing like it.
Whatever.
Grunting. I think this is mating season.
Win one for the Pekka. It is time for the Rob Rant. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. I do have a message today. We've had the it's actually hilarious that I'm talking about this because Joey from Bellevue on the text line right now is talking about a urinal.
Yeah.
He's asking about, like, have you ever stopped at a gas station to use a bathroom, someone using the urinal and playing on the phone at the same time? I don't think I've seen that.
I've seen people on their phones at a urinal.
Okay. Well, that's a bold strategy. It is okay to put the phone down at the urinal for just a few minutes. You can get back on it, preferably after you've washed your hands.
That reminds me of a story real quick. My buddy told me when he was in, he went to a game, I think in Knoxville. He went to the bathroom. Bruce Pearl walked in. Cameras down, everybody. Cameras down. No phones, he proclaimed.
That's probably a good call.
As everybody, yes.
Probably a good call on that front.
Pretty funny.
So, you know, we've had the discussion about how, you know, you're in the men's room. There's like seven or eight urinals in there. You're the only one in it. And then somebody walks up to the one right next to you. It's very odd. Like, don't do that. Just let's use appropriate spacing. You know, the same rule applies to me in the parking lot. You know, I'm on an impressive run right now, Joe, of being in places that have, you know, a substantially sized parking lot, like pretty good sized parking lot with lots of spots open. And I pull in and, you know, I'm not really somebody who's really ever cared all that much about pulling into the closest parking spot. What I look for most is like, where are there like the fewest amount of cars that still, you know, reasonably within walking distance.
Yeah.
So I'm on an impressive run right now of pulling into parking spots and then somebody immediately just pulling right next to me when there are probably two dozen spots available somewhere else in the not too distant, you know, walking vicinity of where we are. Like, I don't understand why people feel like they have to park right next to somebody all the time when they don't have to, because, you know, inevitably, Joe, they park next to you and then you look at it and it's like, oh, well, they're like directly on the line and I can't even open my door without, you know, doing some mind bend out here to try to get out of my car without hitting their car. And, you know, every now and then you just like, you know what? I'm opening my door. I don't really care. Learn how to park. But I don't know what this obsession is with like having to park directly next to somebody all the time. I'm on a heck of a run with it right now. It drives me insane. Use the parking lot like you use a urinal. If you have to go right next to somebody, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. If you don't, space out a little bit. I would think this would be common sense, but apparently it's not, and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I've had that before, and it's especially like when they, yeah, like when they pull up right next to you, and it's like on your side, and it's like, oh, so now like immediately, I was just about to get out of my car, you just pulled next to me, and now I have to like carefully slip out of my car like a jewel thief getting into a museum or something, you know. There's that. Look, I will say, I do. This brings up a couple fights in my marriage, consistent fights. One is I do sometimes, now I'm with you, like if you can park isolated, do it. I'm all with that. I do sometimes not mind establishing a side, if that makes sense, but it's with distance. So in other words, if you're in a pretty busy lot and it's like, okay, there's plenty of space in this spot. If I park here and I park well and there's distance, now I eliminate the possibility someone is going to park right next to me and create a problem, if that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So there is that. But the biggest thing for us is like this, like whenever I'm parking and Katie's like, well, you know, why didn't you take that like super close spot? I'm like, why can't we, let's get 20 more steps in, you know, let's get a little farther away from people and get 20 more steps in, and who cares? That's great. And then also we're like away from people. This is like, this will never not be an argument in our marriage.
Liam says, quote, use the parking lot like you'd use a urinal, end quote. Be careful now.
That is a drop.
Robert says, I use the parking lot like a urinal once and I got a ticket. Maybe I should be more clear. Space out in the parking lot. Oh man. Space out in the parking lot. Like you need to space out at the urinal. Maybe that's the better way to phrase it. Not use the parking lot like you use the urinal.
My biggest thing with the parking situation right now, it's not necessarily in the parking lot, but I've been, I might have mentioned this recently, but I've been coming upon more and more, especially a gas station here near the station where I believe there's like a food establishment inside where there are people who park at the pump, but don't actually pump gas. They go inside, get the food, come back in, eat it while parked at the pump.
Okay, that's
no pumping gas, and then they just drive off.
That's acceptable at one place and one place only, and that is Buc-ee's because they got about 300 gas tanks.
Yeah, I don't like the eating and staying there, but I have parked at a pump because there's no parking before to run into a gas station and run out, get my car and leave. I've done that.
Yeah, like
I don't like to do that.
I'll pull in, start pumping my gas, see this car or two parked at these other pumps, have not seen anybody come out of the gas, out of the car, finish pumping my gas, see them come out of their car, throw the food boxes away, get back in the car, and then drive off. And it's like, I haven't seen them pump gas. They're just sitting there eating the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, there's spots over there. Do not take up a pump to sit there and not pump gas.
Well, yeah, there's spots for sure. Dennis has some good ones. Sometimes you sit down or you sit in your car to eat a quick lunch and then someone will pull right next to you, or you got your windows down and the person lights up a smoke. That's a good one.
Let's head to the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Gover to the program. Gover, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Gover.
Good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, I know this is your rant, Robbie, but, you know, as a guy who frequents the movie theater, I can tell you that more often than not, if you use the app, you can select your seat now, right, as opposed to just showing up for general admission. Oh, yeah. And I cannot tell you how many times in the past, I don't know, 3-4 months, I have had my seat ready to go, proper distancing, you know, in not a busy theater, and somebody has sat literally either right next to my right or one seat away. And I'm like, there are 14 rows in this theater and none of them are taken. What are you doing?
It's insane. It would drive me nuts.
It's awful. Have a good day, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you, Gover. Appreciate it.
Well, real quick, Robbie, Rick and Gallatin has one that's also kind of adjacent to this, and this definitely happens to me. You get seated, like, in a restaurant, and then, like, it's wide open, and they seat someone right next to you so you can hear each other's conversations in a mostly empty restaurant. Like, dude, can we get some space here?
Ian, I think we did learn in this segment that Joe is an offender of both of these things. He parks sounds directly like next to people, and he parks at the gas station and just runs it.
With space. The space is key. And, I mean, that is a huge difference, right? Like your scenario, if there's no issue opening the door, that's obviously way less infuriating, right?
It's still pretty infuriating, but, yes, it is less infuriating.
Fine.
I look at people sometimes, too, and I'm like, what are you doing? People probably think I'm insane, which I guess I am. I look at people and I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you parking right here? Got this entire lot. There's 115 spots. It's ridiculous. And maybe one day I'll be looking at Joe in that situation. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.